The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. When they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered the crowd, Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This past Friday morning started off like most Friday mornings. Laura Lee and I awoke, got ourselves together, got the children up, fed them breakfast, brushed their teeth, got them ready for their day. On this past Friday, it was my turn to drive Carmela to school. So, we get ourselves together, we get in the truck, and we head to Battleford. Carmela goes to BCS. I drop her off. I leave Battleford. And guess what I encounter? A stream of cars. As far as the eye can see, traffic is backed up. Apparently there was quite an accident on the bridge, a semi was hanging over perilously, a crane was there, and traffic was inching along as we went through the ditch over the other side of the bridge. When you're sitting in traffic for an hour and a half, your mind can start to wander. My mind started wandering to this sermon I'm sharing with you right now. Truth be told, I wasn't really quite sure what to say. The message seems so obvious. It's Thanksgiving. We have a great God. God has blessed us with great things. Therefore, let us be thankful and give thanks to God. The end, amen, let's move on. But you wouldn't settle for that. As I'm sitting in traffic, I find myself behind a truck. Now I have to admit that I'm a bit of a truck guy. I've always owned a truck. Trucks in various states of repair. But this was a nice truck. It was a big truck. It was a one-ton, shiny, black truck. It was about this high off the ground, had big rubber tires, it had more chrome on it than a rapper's mouth. It was belching big black diesel smoke. And in the back it had a sticker. And that sticker said, He who dies with the most toys wins. I thought, that's really an anthem for my generation. He who dies with the most toys does win. Surely. The most skidoos and the most ATVs, the most speedboats, the most trailers, the most houses, the most vacations, you name it. He who has the most wins. It's a very easy game to tabulate score. I can put my belongings against your belongings. I can put my quotient of fun against your quotient of fun. I know where I stand. How many square feet is your house? How old is your car? How pretty is your wife? How smart are your children? How many toys do you have in your garage? How many winter vacations do you take? And I can score myself against you. In the game of life, I know if I am winning or I am losing. I know where I stack up against you and my neighbors and the world in general. But is that a faithful response to life? Do we really lead an existence that tells us he who dies with the most toys really wins? I agree with half the statement. He who dies, dies. But the most toys part, I question. I question the idea that we can buy ourselves happiness. I know it sounds like a curt phrase to you, and of course you know you can't buy yourselves happiness, but let's look at our lives. How much time do we work and worry and concern ourselves with the things that we want to possess or the things that we do possess? How much emotional energy do we give? to wondering where we stack up against others. How come their lives are better than ours? How come they're doing more than us? How come they're buying more than us? What am I doing wrong? What's wrong with my bank account? What's wrong with my accomplishments? And when we find ourselves falling into that sinful trap, that desire to live the lives of others, we might call it jealousy. When we find ourselves falling into that trap, we aren't happy. We aren't joyful. We aren't concerned about our neighbor. We aren't concerned about the world. We aren't concerned about God or the gospel or living lives of love and forgiveness. The only thing we're concerned about is ourselves, our place in the universe, our unfair reality. How come I can't have that? How come I can't buy that? How come I can't do that? And when I find myself in that state, when you find yourself in that state, you're probably not feeling very thankful. You might feel discouraged. You might feel filled with spite. You might feel angry. You might feel depressed. But I know that being thankful is not one of the emotions that is felt. The reality is, in our consumer-oriented generation, we have replaced pleasure for joy. We have replaced gratification for happiness. These things are remarkably different from one another. Joy, the Bible tells us, is eternal. Joy is a state of being. Pleasure is transitory. It's ephemeral. It only lasts but a moment. That new thing you bought to bring you great joy, what happens when it breaks? What happens when it rusts? What happens when it gets stolen? There's no more pleasure. Joy, peace, love. These things the Bible tells us are eternal. These things are internal. These things last and weather the storms of life. They don't age. They don't rust. They can't be stolen. You don't have to insure them or put them under lock and key. They are yours to enjoy and to share and to give. They are infinite. But they can't be measured. In the game of life, you can't say, she has more joy than me. She has more peace than me. He has more happiness than me. You can't tabulate it on a bank ledger. You can't park it in your garage. You can't show it off to your sister-in-law or your co-workers. So what good is it? If I can only make myself feel better by making you feel worse, then I would say that is not of God. We come today to the gospel reading, and our reading follows after Christ has fed the 5,000. The boy brings his basket of loaves, the fish, everything is multiplied. People are fed. Jesus preaches, shares the good news, and he goes on his way. He sails to Capernaum. And the people follow Jesus. But they don't follow Jesus because they want to learn more. Because they want to grow. They follow Jesus because he hopes he'll keep doing these miracles. He'll keep giving them free things. More bread, more fish, more trinkets, more shiny apparatuses. Who knows? So Jesus chastises them and says, you guys, you're just following me because you've ate your fill. And now you want more. You want full bellies and comfortable lives and big screen TVs and 3,500 square foot houses. But Jesus says, I'm not about that. I'm about the things that last. I'm about the bread of life, not that which perishes. I'm about your internal state. If your happiness is connected to something that can be taken from you, then I would suggest it's not really a source of happiness. If your happiness, if your sense of self, if your well-being is connected to possessions, things that can be stolen or destroyed or burnt. Those are not a source of happiness. They can be a source of worry and concern, but not of true joy or peace. St. Paul tells us in today's reading, there's been times when he's been rich and there's been times when he's been poor, but he's learned to find happiness in himself regardless of what time it is. Regardless of which season he is living, he has found happiness. That's because St. Paul has connected himself to something eternal, to something beyond himself. And that is the love of God, as he finds it in Christ Jesus. That is in daily forgiveness. That is in fellowship. That is in the good news of the gospel, a knowledge of the resurrection. This is where I find my hope. This is where I have to replant myself when I find myself caught up in the game of life. Wondering, how come I'm not rich enough? How come I'm not smart enough? How come I'm not handsome enough? How come I'm not influential enough? How come I fail? When I find myself going over these thoughts in my head, when that little red devil gets on your shoulder and tells you, hey, you're a fraud. You're not a good enough husband. Not a good enough father. You're not a good enough pastor. You're not a good enough provider. Like Peter, I have to say, get behind me, Satan. Because I am focusing my heart not on the things of God. Not on the things that really bring me peace. Not on the things that really help my family grow in love. Not on the things that pull me forward to a new creation. That's the good news of the gospel. It's been given to you. Everything we need is sufficiently provided for us. We don't have to toil for it or work for it. We all share in it equally. We are all children of God. Think about that for a minute. There's no hierarchy. There's no I'm better than you or you're better than me. There's no place at the table. We have this great equality. Because we find it not in our possessions, but we find it in Christ. We all share Jesus together. We all share in the same God. We all share in the same gospel. We all share in the same calling. We all have an equal share. To me, that's thanksgiving. It's thanks living. If I am only thankful for that which I have, then I keep having to find more stuff to have. And that's a losing game. It's a game that I can't compete. Because if I buy into the idea that he who has the most toys wins, I will never be a winner. I will always be a loser. How much is ever enough? How much money is enough? How many possessions are enough? How many friends are enough? How much influence is enough? How much prestige is enough? I'll be like the hamster on the proverbial wheel. I'll be running and I'll be working and I'll be buying and I'll be trying, but I'll never get to any sort of finish line because there will always be something beyond me. Something newer and shinier and better and more interesting. And along the way, I will lose you. Because I have no room to care for you. All I can care about is myself and my place in the universe. All I find myself caring about is how am I doing? I have more than her, but less than him. That's not healthy. That's corrosive. That brings us to a point in which we start despising other people. Look at what they have. How come I can't have that? They don't deserve that. They didn't work for that. They shouldn't have that. But guess what? What I have, I don't deserve. What I have has been given to me by God. If you want to talk about people who are freeloaders, I am number one. Christ died for me not because of anything I did. God has blessed me not because of anything I did. I have a knowledge of salvation not because I've done anything. I am grafting myself onto Christ. I am coming along for the ride. I'm not paying for the fuel. And this is where I find my thankful life. This is the life that I encourage you to lead. When you find yourself starting to feel down, distraught, depressed, generally angry at those around you because you think that life is giving you an unfair deal. Not enough money, not a big enough health, Your health isn't good enough, whatever it may be. However you think the universe has conspired against you. What great travesty you feel that's been inflicted upon you, ask yourself, what do you really deserve? What has life promised you? When you were born, who showed up and promised you anything? No one. Except God. Today we celebrate the gift of baptism. And in this gift of baptism, God will make promises. A promise to walk with Lydia. A promise to grow with Lydia. A promise to love Lydia. A promise to give the Holy Spirit to strengthen Lydia. And at the day of her death, a promise to claim her as his own and bring her to salvation. And that's it. That's the eternal promise. That's the promise that's called to keep us going. That's the promise that brings us great joy. That's the promise that we can rest our thanksgiving. That's how we can say thanks be to God. Because God is the only one in the universe that's promised us anything. That's given us any sort of guarantee. And that's what I cling to. That's what directs my thoughts and my energy and my emotion. That is what I am most thankful for on this day and all days. Amen.